Atzeres Shavuos is also a time of judgment. The Batzeres al Peros Ha'ilan. That on Shavuos, the judgment is al Peros Ha'ilan, the fruits of the trees. Now we normally think of Tu B'Shvat. What's the din over here? What does it mean? What is the judgment? So, in the Zohar Kaddish, there's something very deep here. And that's what we're going to be talking about. The Torah is called Ilana Dechaya. The Torah is called the Tree of Life. Eitz Chayim Hi L'machazikim Bar, everybody knows. The Torah itself is called the Tree of Life. And even though the Din of Rosh Hashanah is an inclusive Din, but there's something specific about Shavuos, and this is as far as men and women are concerned, where there's a judgment regarding the question of how deep is my connection to the Torah? How deep is my connection to the Tree of Life? Am I enjoying the fruits of the Tree of Life? What is my relationship with the Torah? So we need to understand on our level what that means. Growing up in yeshiva, and all the yeshivas, it was a very exciting time, and we were taught, and it's true, that as yeshiva bachurim, we were being judged for our commitment to learning, and how many Black Gemara we're learning, how much ground are we covering, are we steiging, are we serious about our learning? That's what we were taught in yeshiva, and it's absolutely true. But bivadai, that's not the whole picture. Women are also Jews. I don't know if anybody ever told that to you. And besides, the Zohar is telling us it's the Ilana Dechai, the tree of life for each and every one of us. So what is the din? What is this din of Atzeres, of this Yontiv of Shavuos? And it's interesting because all the other time we're busy with Sukkah and Tkir Shofar and with all the halachas of the Seder and Chametz and so on. But when it comes to Shavuos, we don't really have as much as a big deal you can make about a piece of cheesecake. Well, Lamaisa, what is it? What is the Yontif? So there's a famous Gemara. We're going to talk about this Gemara. The Gemara in Berachas and Lav Chav Ches, the Gemara tells us about the Ptira, the Estalkos, the death of one of the great, great, great Tanaim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It was at the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. And the Gemara says, Kishachol Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he was dying, when he was very sick, he was on his deathbed, Nichnasu Talmidim Lavakro, his Talmidim, his students came to visit him, Kevin Shira'is and his Chalivkais. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai began to cry. And they asked him, why are you crying? And he said that, just paraphrasing the Gemara, that if I was being brought before a Melech Basar V'dam, before a king of flesh and blood, I would be filled with terror, I would be crying. And now I'm about to face Melech Malchem Lachem, the king of all kings. V'lo od, and not only that, El Shiesh Lefanai Shtei Drachim. I see before me that there are two paths. Echad Shel Gan Eden. I see a path that is leading towards paradise, towards Gan Eden. Ve'echad Shel Gehenna. It's hard to believe that he said such a thing. And the other path is leading to the opposite of paradise. A place that's not good, Gehenna. Ve'en Yedea Be'ezem Aleichen I see. And I don't know where I'm going to be taken. Am I going to be taken to Gan Eden? Or am I going to be taken to Gehenna? I don't know La'an Malichim I see. Be'ezem Malichim I see. V'lo Yevke. So how could I not cry? So everybody's talking about this Gemara. You can understand. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the Gadol Hador. We can't imagine. He was pure and he was holy. Every minute of his life was learning, was teaching, and mitzvahs, masim tovim. What was this judgment that he felt? What was this suffix, this doubt, that a person of his stature, of his tzidkus, of his greatness, had at that moment to say such a thing that any day of Be'ezim Alichno, see, I don't know which path I'm being taken on. I don't know where I'm going. What was he afraid of? At those last moments that his neshama, that his soul was just barely connected to his guf, to his body, what was he thinking? To try to understand what's been revealed to us, the Torah, to try to understand. Because that din that he felt, I believe, is very deeply connected to the din of Shavuos every single year. It was the din of Shavuos. You have a page in front of you. I don't usually do inside. But I felt that this Torah is so beautiful and so important that I wanted you to have it. And I wanted to learn with you inside. Just take 5 minutes to learn inside. This Torah is from the Sefer, as you can see, Malchus Shlomo. Malchus Shlomo was written, or it wasn't written by the Tzaddik himself, but the family collected some of the teachings he taught. There's much, much more, but we only have some. This is from Shlomo Latursky from Denver, Zchus Yigaleinu. So you all know Rabbi Abraham Tversky. He had an older brother, Rabbi Shlomo, the Harnstapler Rebbe from Denver, who was big, big tzaddik, and a huge Talmud Chacham, and a very, very mysterious person, a very hidden and deep person. And we have a few Torahs from him. So he explains the following. He's talking about this Gemara, about the death of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. And it's kedai to see the words inside, and to try, if you can, to share it over Yontov, or to share it Shabbos with the family. Avle inyin hu, ki atayru hu hakli, shal yodo yochalim tza Hashem azbarach. Hashem gave us a kli. He gave us an instrument, by means of which we can find Hashem. We can find Hashem with this kli. We can connect Hashem with this kli. Avle imhu eino bevakesh, az lo yim seklum. But if you're not seeking Hashem, you're not going to find him. If you're not looking for him, you're not going to find him. Even if you're a person that's completely observant, and you keep all Torah mitzvahs, because the Torah is like any other kli, with any kli, even though you're holding it in your hand, whatever that instrument is that you're holding in your hand, it may no mishtamish bo, if you're not using it, if it's not on, if you're not using it, or then hari lomo lakum, then it doesn't help you. If you're not using it, it doesn't help you. You have the instrument, but it's off, or you're not using it. Avobli hatar bevad alayim sashem esbach. Clearly, without this instrument that's called Torah, klechemda, without the Torah, one cannot connect Hashem. One cannot find Hashem. He might think he is. She might imagine that she's connected or he's connected to Hashem, but you can't really. That's the kli. Ka'atoru ha'kli, sh'noslo Hashem izbarach, ba'atz m'kdei la'gi elav izbarach. Hashem gave us this kli. This, it's funny to use the word instrument. I don't have to. You know what a kli is. Hashem gave us this kli to get to him. This is the way to connect to him. Of course, there's mitzvahs, there's davening, but the essential kli that is necessary to be mezdabik to Hashem, to attach ourselves to Hashem, is the Torah. V'me'enu lokeach ha'kli b'yado. Therefore, if the person tries to avoid using this kli, in other words, he's not interested or she's not interested in Torah. Af imevakis Hashem zbar kol yomav. Even if you're seeking Hashem your whole life, lo yimtza klum, you're not going to find him. Because there's no way to reach him without the kli. V'na derech el Hashem mishtana lefi ha'odim lefi ha'eis. Each person's path to Hashem, of course we all have Torah mitzvahs, but each and every one of us has his and her own unique path for which you and I were created. Each one of us was created to connect to Hashem in our own way. Lefi ha'odim, according to who that person is. Lefi ha'eis, also a different time in history, that why were we born Davka now? Why are we living at this time, not at a different time? Valkain, im mishtamish b'toy karoi, if we use the Torah, if a person uses the Torah the right way, as avodasa lo yeh mamish shavu avodah shum adam acher, then your Yiddishkeit will not be the same as any other person's Yiddishkeit. Then you'll have your own Yiddishkeit. It doesn't mean to say you're not going to keep the same Shabbos. Everybody understands. But there'll be, you'll have your own unique way of, through Torah, connecting to Hashem. Keri hu miyuchad lo, because it's custom designed for each person. The problem is as follows. Many people do not use the Torah. They only learn Torah and they only keep mitzvahs as a way of life. It's just a way of life. It's a cultural thing. It's a family thing. It's a certain way that we were raised, that we were taught, we received. It's just a mahalach of life. There are other people that have different mahalachim. And this is our mahalach. Ve'enim avakshim Hashem. But they're not really seeking Hashem. They're just signed up for the mahalach. And they're part of the mahalach. And as part of this mahalach, you know, men do certain things. And shachas mechamar, with this slichas. And there's this yontif, and the women do their things and everything. And it's just a mahalach of life. It's just the way that religious Jews live. But ve'enim avakshim Hashem. But they're not mevakshe Hashem. They're not seeking Hashem. Umeimela einem megiim elav yisbarach. It means that they're not using the kli. It's not on. But they're not using the kli to find Hashem. The tachlis of Torah is to connect Hashem, and they're not using Torah to connect Hashem. They're just using Torah as a way. It's interesting. It's exciting. It's what we do. It's who we are. But it's not to be mevakesh Hashem. Nipsu shim echad hu mevakesh. Therefore, if a person is mevakesh, af bishe shama kol haTorah, tamid yabiyado sveikus. Therefore, what was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's? What was he worried about? Because if a person is holding this kli, the Torah, and he is seeking to connect to Hashem with the Torah, then he knows that even though he's observant, like all of his fellow co-religionists are all from, tamid yabiyado sveikus, he's always worried. Yes, a safek. Im hu b'derech hanachon lehagiyeh el beis el. Am I using this instrument of Torah to find my own unique path to connect to Hashem? Have I been spending my life using this to connect to Hashem in the way that He wants me to connect to Him? Vim zu hasulam shirosha magiyeh shamayim. Is this ladder leading up to heaven, to Hashem? V'alkein afilu atanha eloki Rabbi Yochanan. Therefore, even this godly person who was a Tana, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, shebevade lo hayu biyado shum aver kal shebekal, he never did any averes. V'osak bevados yisbar kol yomav, and he was learning and davening and keeping mitzvahs his whole life. Bacha. But as his soul was about to leave, he was crying. Lo yada imishtamish karoi b'torah. Even though Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, he kept all Torah mitzvahs, but did I use this kli that was given to me, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, at this time in history, my life, in my family, in my community, did I use this in the way that Hashem wanted me to use this? Lagiyeh al yediyas habore, to reach that knowledge of Hashem, to reach that connection to Hashem. Kefi ma shahaya biyado lasos, according to what I was able to do, what I could have done in my life. So let's try to understand this. This is a very, very deep teaching. Because we see all around us that there are Orthodox Jews who practice Orthodox Judaism as a way of life. Not as a way of connecting to Hashem necessarily, not as a way of having a relationship with God, just as a way of life. It's just a mahalach of life. People have different mahalachim, and that's his mahalach. Not that he doesn't believe in Hashem, but he's not crying about whether he's using this instrument to get to the place that Hashem wanted him to get to. So let's try to understand this. Every morning, we say the brachas, Birchas HaTorah. And in Birchas HaTorah, we say, V'harvna Hashem Akeinu, is divrei so'oscha befinu. We ask Hashem to make the Torah sweet in our mouths, in our children's mouths, in our grandchildren's mouths. And then we ask Hashem, V'ni anachnu, that may it be, that all of us should be, Kulanu yodei shemecha, that we should know your name. Lomdei Saroscha Lishma. That we should know your name and we should learn your Torah for its own sake, for the right reason. Yoidei Shemecha, v'lomdei Sarosu l'shma. That means that you can have a person who is learning Torah all of his life, and he's keeping mitzvahs all of his life. And the only thing that is missing is what took place at Har Sinai. The only thing that's missing, we're told that when we stood at Har Sinai, we began to scream out, Ritzoneinu liros es malkeinu. I want to see you. I want to be a Jew, to learn Torah and to keep mitzvahs in order to experience your presence, in order to connect to you. Ritzoneinu liros es malkeinu. There's no question that what we were taught in yeshiva is right, 100% true, that we have to want to learn more Torah and to understand the Torah better. Each one of us, men and women, each one of us on our own level, to try to learn more and to understand more. But what's the tachlis of all of this? The tachlis of all of this is what the Navi Yeshayahu said in Perek Chavav, L'shimcha or L'zichrucha taivas nefesh. We long for the name by which you are called. That's what it means. That we ask Hashem that we learn Torah, but the point of learning Torah is you gave us this kli. You gave us a way to find you. You gave us, no other nation was given this. We were given this kli to find you, to connect to you. And therefore, the meaning of Yodei Shemecha is to know Hashem's name, is to be able in each one of us in our lives to be able to reveal this tree of life, to connect to this tree of life. To learn Torah not just because it's interesting. To keep mitzvahs not just because it's a way of life. Or that's what my family does, or that's what we do in this little world of frum people. But I learned Torah in order to know your name, in order to know you. Ritzoneinu liros es malkeinu. That we want to see you. It doesn't mean physically, but we want to connect to you. We want to have that experience of being connected to you. So, Baruch Hashem, it's now Shavuos, it's Erev Shavuos, Tavshin Pei Beis, 2022 Shavuos. And with Hashem's help, we're all healthy and well. But in a certain way, Hashem is revealing to us through this Gemara with Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai, Hashem is telling us that it's important when it comes to Shavuos to feel the Omek HaDin, to feel this din, and to ask ourselves the question, not to God for this, start thinking about Gehenna, to think about hell, it's not a mahalach, but the question of La'an Molichim Osi, the path that I've chosen in my life, the path that I'm living in my life, this path of being an observant Jew. Not to think about, it's not Rosh Hashanah Kippur, it's not a whole thing with Dinim and my Aveiros and my Mitzvahs and the scales. That's something else. A person should always make a Cheshbon Nefesh, but that's not what Shavuos is about. Because each and every one of you knows that we were at Har Sinai. Every single one of us was at Har Sinai. Our neshamas were all there. Anyone who is, also anybody who converted to Judaism, who's a Ger Tzedek, also, who's originally a Jew, and the Neshama stood at Har Sinai. Over time, something happened, and that person got mixed amongst the nation, and then the Ger came back. It's an amazing thing. But every single one of us was there. It says in the Pasuk, Es asher yeshno po, Hashem said by Har Sinai, Es asher yeshno po imanu omed hayom, whoever is here today, standing here today, And the Arizal said, all this around, tell us that every single Nishmas Yisrael, every Jew who would ever live, Kulanu, every single Jew who would ever live was at Har Sinai. And therefore, when Hashem told us, at Har Sinai, He Shar Melacha, be careful, Ushmor Nafshucha Ma'oid, and guard your lives, guard your souls very carefully. Pentishkach es advarim asheru einecha. Don't you forget what your eyes saw this day. Don't you forget what you saw. Yom Hashem Malta Lifnei Hashem Elokechem Elokecha B'Chariv. Don't forget what you as an individual saw this day when you stood at Har Sinai. So everybody's talking about what does it mean to remember? What does that mean? So one might think it means to remember, just to remember what we were taught. To remember the Ten Commandments, the Asarot HaDibros, and if a person is more advanced, to remember the material, the curriculum that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down, that's the mitzvah of remembering Har Sinai, to remember what we were taught, and there's no question that we should try as much as we can to remember. But the Sforim HaKadoshim tell us that if you look carefully at the pasuk, Hashem is saying to each and every one of us, you were here, you might not consciously remember that, but there was something that you saw. It's not just that you learned something that you heard. It says, Ashero einecha, that your eyes saw something. We heard something. You and I saw something thousands of years ago. We heard it. And those tzaddikim who are still looking and searching and trying to hear are able to experience something of that even now. It says in the Torah, the kolos ubrakim, there was thunder and lightning. The onan kaved alahar, I think that's the title of the shir. The onan kaved alahar, and there was a heavy, thick cloud that was hanging over the mountain. And it says, v'harsinai oshan kulo, there was smoke and fire. But ne'ah sheyored alav Hashem beish, because kivyoch the shechina came upon the mountain in a fire. And then it says, v'cholam roim asakolos, it was a miracle that the entire nation saw the sounds. We were able to see the sounds that came out from Hashem's mouth. Vesalapidim veskol haShofar, and the fire and the sound of the shofar. So the question now is, if Rabbi Shalom, you're telling us you want us to remember this, that we experienced something. We didn't just learn something. If you or I grew up in religious homes, not everybody here did, but if you grew up in a religious home, or if you came to Yiddishkeit to Mitzvahs later on, the likelihood is it's not because of some interesting concept that took your heart, although that's important, and that certainly contributes to our connection. Most likely it was the thunder and lightning that was experienced. Somehow, in some way, a certain teacher, a certain experience. The Rebbe from Alexander said that when the Torah tells us to remember what you saw at Har Sinai, it means think back on that moment in your life, or those moments in your life where you were shaken to the core by being a Jew, where you, on some level, felt, where you were able to hear the thunder and to see the lightning, and somehow to experience that clarity, that feeling of certainty that we had when we were standing at Har Sinai and we said, "Ritzonenu, Neiros Asmalkenu Hashem, we want to see you." And it says, "Atarei Sadas Hashem," opened up the heavens, and there were some things that we saw, something that we experienced. So how is it possible for regular chaver like us? It sounds like a big thing for tzaddikim. And they say that by the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the tzaddikim that were by the Baal Shem, they were able to hear thunder, and they were able to see lightning in the Beis HaMedrash. But we're not like that. We're very far from such people. These were Malachi Hashem. We don't understand them. But what about like regular chaver? What does it mean to see the thunder and the lightning? To hear the thunder and to see the lightning? And is there anything we could do to try to be zeicher to that, as opposed to just waiting for some great moment of excitement and inspiration? You know, so many people are calling to, or leaving messages, and it's not just me, the other people that are trying to be mashpia, and I'm sure you also get calls like this, or people ask you, for chizuk. For chizuk. Everybody needs chizuk. I need chizuk. You need. We all need chizuk. And people have grown very used to the idea of trying to find chizuk somewhere else, looking for chizuk someplace. So nowadays there are unbelievable amount of things online, tapes, videos, wonderful teachers, and all of that is gewaldig. All of that is terrific. But we become dependent upon others for our chizuk. I'm sure that you've been in this position with a friend. And all of us try as hard as we can to somehow, when you see a Jew in whose life that flame has gotten a little bit, has gone down, when you see a kid, you see that the fire is getting, you know, like on the oven, on the stove, you have a higher and lower flame, right? So you see a child and you see that the davening is, that it's getting lower, the fire. When he was little, you saw, or she was little, you saw an excitement about Yiddishkeit. Now you see, you know, the eyes rolling and the kid sitting back during davening or outside with his friends. And you're watching the fire get lower and lower. And the sound of thunder is not there. The kid's not hearing the thunder. How many times now I get calls from women from all around the world who, when they were married, the husband was on fire with Yiddishkeit. This week I was on the phone with somebody. And she was telling me that Ishkan Davin and Ishkan Lenin doesn't daven, doesn't learn. He is one of the top guys. You know, she married him in yeshiva, and he was learning, and he was teaching other people. And then things were difficult with Parnassa, and he got a job, and he's out in the working someplace. It's not from New York, but out somewhere working, and he's not learning much anymore. He's watching sports and different things. And barely learns with the kids. She has to beg him to learn some Gemara with the son. She's begging him to learn a little bit. She's telling me she has to try to prepare the Gemara. But she looks at art school to try to prepare the Gemara. Her husband, who learned in yeshiva, she said he was in kollel for 7 years in Yerushalayim. They lived for 7 years in Yerushalayim after they were married. And she's preparing the Gemara to teach the kid. He only talks, he's all excited about the ball game. He's excited about politics, he talks about these things, he's all excited about these things. And she's crying to me that this is not the person that I married. It's not the person that I married. What happened to the fire? What happened to the thunder that he in the yeshiva and the fire that he had? What happened to that? And sometimes it's the other way. Sometimes it's the other way. Many times you have that the men are going to a Bais Medrash and they're sitting and they're learning and they're involved in a lot of shiurim and they have the daf and they... And the wife has gotten weighed down by life and by the Bez Hashem, weighed down by the kids and trying to just manage the home, and the husband doesn't see in his wife that fire of Yiddishkeit, that love of Yiddishkeit. It seems that she has forgotten Har Sinai. She might be very smart, and she might be able to say a good Dvar Torah at the Shabbos table. He might still be able to say a very good Vatar because they're smart people and they remember a lot of things that they learn. But the thunder and lightning of Har Sinai has disappeared. There's very little left. So I wanted to share one nakuda here of what our generation has to, I believe, concentrate on to get back the fire and to get back the thunder and the lightning. This is all, of course, besides what I speak about here all the time, is to do our best to try to encourage learning the deeper side of Torah, to learn Pnimis of Torah, to learn Chassidus, to learn the Svarim HaKadosh, to learn those Svarim that when you touch them, your hands get burnt from the fire. The fire, these Svarim, they're on fire. When you open up the Bedich, when you open the Kedushas Levi, you open up and there's a fire coming out. In early generations, for different reasons, which I'll touch upon for a minute, they were able to access the thunder and lightning, not necessarily in this way. So I'll tell you what we have to do to get to that. Just one Indian, one Nakuda. There's not much time, so I'm going to have to go very quickly. So I'll get straight to the point. In order for that to happen, we have to die. We have to die. It sounds scary, right? Mm-hmm. They have to die. I'll tell you what I mean by that. Not God forbid, nobody should even have a cold, chas v'shalom. Not a cold. The Gemara says in Shabbos, "Kol dibur v'dibur sheyotzei mipi Kadosh Baruch Hu, every word that came out from Hashem, Parcha Nishmas and Shei Yisrael, our souls left us, and the Shem has left us. In other words, at Har Sinai, with every word that came out from Hashem's mouth, we died, and then we were revived. It was scary. If you remember, they were saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, well, we can't handle any more of this, please take over. They died, and they were revived. Now let's translate that into our language, what that means, and what this is in terms of our Avodas Hashem, to try somehow to connect to the thunder and lightning. This world is an Alma D'Shikra. Chazal have defined this world as a world that is filled with sheker, with falsehood, with sheker. It's an Alma D'Shikra. The world of the Guf, this world of the Guf is a world of sheker. It's a world of sheker. And the only time that a person can truly connect to the Emes of Torah, to turn on that kli, and to use that kli, to use that instrument, as it was intended to be used, is when the person takes temporary leave of his or her body. And I don't mean anything mystical. I'm not talking about anything Kabbalistic, even though meditation is a very good thing, but I'm not talking about Davka, a person engaging in meditation. What does Parcha Nishmasan mean? What does that mean, to take leave of the body? I'm not talking about an out-of-body experience, Parcha Nishmasan. If a person does not have moments every single day, hopefully every single day, if he doesn't have some moments every single day of Parcha Nishmasan, of his soul flittering out of the body, then there's no question that he's very, very far removed from the tree of life. The Torah was given to us in such a way of Parcha Nishmasan, of the soul leaving. And the only way that you and I can deeply connect to the truth of Torah and use the kli in the way that we were learning in the Sefer is if we are able also to experience this. Let me give a marshal of what this means. And I'm sorry if it's a little bit mysterious, but I'm going to explain. It's going to be very, very simple and very clear. For example, if you're standing outside of a playground or in the playground, and Bli Ayin Hara, there are children, the daven, the children should be safe. You see what's going on in the world. The children used to go to school, and it was a place that they could go and be happy and feel safe. So you're in the playground, and you're watching the kids play, and they're very, very, very into the game that they're playing, and you're just an observer. So you see this little boy that he is very serious, he's very intense. And you're watching him and you watch how he's playing. Then you see another little girl playing with her friends, and you see that she's a little bit conceited, a little bit with her friends, a little bit too haughty or maybe overly aggressive. You're able to see, just looking from the outside, you're able to see in a very, very clear and obvious way, some of the better points of some of the kids, and some of the weaker points. They're just playing. But you're able to watch this, and you're able to see this as an outside observer. Mibachutz, you're able to see this. The child himself is oblivious to this. All the child is concerned with is getting the ball into the hoop. Or the little girl, maybe the girls do that now also, or whatever they used to, when I was younger, was hopscotch or other things. I don't mean to be, whatever, but I know it's not the right thing to say, but that's how it used to be. So, that kid is just, now, as observers, just standing there, they don't even know that we're watching. There are no adults here. They're just, each one is in the game. In the game, in the world, in the goof, the child is oblivious to her milas, to her chesrinas. Completely oblivious to that. In the game, the child is living in the game, and therefore the child is oblivious to that. The only ones who are able to watch this are those who are outside the game. Or there's a famous thing they say from the Kotzker. The Kotzker was giving advice on many things that have to do with people come from all over the world to ask him about business, questions about business. And he was giving advice all the time about business. Until finally there was somebody that asked him, "Rabbi, I don't understand. You have no shaychus to Olam Hazeh. You have no shaychus to the stock exchange," whatever that was in Kotsk. "You have no, the equivalent. You have no shaychus. You have nothing to do with the world of business. And you're doling out advice to thousands and thousands of Jews who come to you. And by the way, non-Jews as well. You're giving advice to people about business. And what do you know about it? I mean, all due respect. You never went to school for business. You don't have a degree in business. The Kotsky never touched money. So how is it that you're giving advice to people about this?" So Kotsky said, this is what it says in the Sefer. "Adarab, rak mi shul chutz l'olam hazeh," listen carefully to the words, "only a person who is outside of this world, only a person who's able to get outside a little bit, outside of the family, outside of the chat, outside of that, of the, out of the world of the house, of the carpool, of business, of school, out of the conversations with mommy and daddy and brother and sister and friends, out of that whole olam hazeh. Rak mishu chutz olam hazeh yochel lahabit besoch olam hazeh. Only the one who is outside of olam hazeh can look objectively into olam hazeh. Only if you're outside of the game can you really honestly observe what's taking place in the game. Avam mishu besoch hadavar," the Kotsky said, "but whoever is stuck in it, if you're stuck in it, if you're in it," he said, "eino yochel liros oso klal. You don't see that which you're in, you cannot see. You don't see the truth of who you are, of your own personality. Sometimes you would see yourself on a tape, on a video. So you're getting a little funny thing that it's me, but it's afterwards and I'm watching myself as an outside observer, and it could be pretty painful. And I'm not talking about how you know, your hair didn't come out right or whatever it was. It could be pretty painful. If there would be videos of all of us in our lives, and while we're in it, we're like the child that's in the game, each one with his mylas and chesrinus. This one with his gaiva, this one with her sweetness, this one with the anger, this one with the intense behavior. Each one is playing in the playground. And this world is an alma de shikra, it's a playground. And the Kotsky is saying, mishu chutz l'olam hazeh yochel lahabit b'soich olam hazeh. If you're outside the world, in other words, when the Torah was given, parcha nishmasa, our neshamas ascended. In other words, Hashem gave us the ability to be able to, through Torah and mitzvahs, to be able to ascend, to be able to disengage. That's the modern equivalent of parcha nishmas. What you and I are watching more and more is people who are Orthodox who never, ever, ever leave this world. Who never leave this world. Who are never levad, who are never in a place of adam nirvi yechidi, who are never going somewhere and thinking, just thinking quietly, who are living their Yiddishkeit in a way. Chazal tell us an interesting thing. You know that when this whole project of Yiddishkeit began with Avraham Avinu, even though he didn't get the Torah, but everything began with Avraham Avinu. And you remember that in order to begin, in order to reveal to Avraham Avinu what Hashem wanted to reveal to him, it says in the Torah that Hashem took him outside. And Rashi says, what is outside? It doesn't mean on the corner. Outside means what? Above the world. Hashem took Avraham Avinu above the world. And he said to him, Ko ye zarecha. This is how your children are to be. I want you to raise children. I want you to build a nation of people who are productive, who are part of the world, who go to work, who take care of their families, who do all that stuff that's part of being in this world. But I want you to raise children who know that unless they take time to go outside of that world, they're just missing the whole point. They're never going to see me. They're never going to use the Torah as a way of connecting to me. They're never going to search for me. They're never going to want me. They'll keep Torah mitzvahs as a way of life. So, therefore, they're not, it's never going to be what's your own unique way of serving Hashem. I had just this, the other day, there was a sweet bach that was telling me he was learning a certain sefer, and the Rebbe started screaming at him that this is apikorsis, this is not our way of learning, we don't learn these things, and what's the matter with him? He says it's not his way. But this boy is the only thing in his life that's making him happy is this sefer. It's the only thing in his life that's making him feel connected to Hashem, and that's why he goes to daven. That's what he told me. This sefer is getting into shul every single day. And his Rebbe said, that's apikorsis, that's heresy. He says, that's not our Masara. Which, by the way, it absolutely is his Masara because he comes from that background, his family. It's not the Rebbe's Masara. I'm not even sure about that because I don't know who the Rebbe is. I don't want to know his name. And he didn't tell me the name. But I don't even know if that's the Rebbe's Masara. He's just saying something that he heard and something horrible. And the only thing that this boy had to hold on to in his Yiddishkeit was this safe. And he's crying to me. That all that I'm holding on to as a Jew, he just embarrassed us in front of other people also. And he just humiliated me and embarrassed me and told me that this is apikorsis, this heresy. This is a sefer that was written by a holy tzaddik from 250 years ago, who this Rebbe can't lick his little nail, you understand, his little toe. And it's apikorsis. It's not part of being a Jew. And this Baruch is saying, Ritzoneinu liros es malkeinu. I want to see Hashem. I want the thunder and lightning. This sefer, when I open it, I feel the thunder and lightning. I feel that connection. It's making. I feel that when I open this sefer, I'm able to get out of this world that I'm in for a little bit, and to see the truth in a clear way, like the one who's watching, you know, as an outside observer. That's the meaning of parach nishmas. It doesn't mean to be away from the world. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, was the wealthiest Jew in the world. He was the wealthiest person. But that same tzaddik, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, he was able, when he wanted to, he was able to take a little bit of a trip without smoking anything, without taking any pills, without going to ask somebody else, please give me some chizik, which is another way of saying, please get me out of this misery that I'm in. But if you can't get out of the guf for a little bit, and be in that place of the neshama, so then you can't receive the Torah, because we receive the Torah in that way. And that's what it means to this day, to be a person who is able to receive the Torah. Vayonas, it says by Yosef HaTzadik, Vayonas Vayetze Hachutza. How is he able to overcome that temptation that he was going on over there in the house there with Asius, with the wife of Potiphar? What happens? So it says, Vayonas Vayetze Hachutza. Of course, it meant he literally ran out. But on a deeper level, it means for each and every one of us that unless we begin to think about somehow every day taking some time of Vayonis Ve'etz Achutza, then we might be Orthodox Jews and we'll get rewarded for all the mitzvahs that we keep, of course, and that's itself a big accomplishment. But when Hashem gave the Torah to Sinai, He gave it with thunder and with lightning. And He said, Shmo nafshecha, guard your souls. Pentishkach es advar mesheru einecha. I don't want you to forget what you saw. I don't want you to forget the thunder and lightning. I don't want you to forget what it feels like to see the truth in such an objective way that because your soul is able to climb out of this insanity of COVID and politics and family and chevra and all the different things that are going on with the phones and the technology and the computers and Amazon and buying and this and that and all the other things of life and the kids and the noise and the world, because that's the only time that you're able to actually hear the thunder, to see the lightning. The same way when the Torah was given, that's how we remember Har Sinai. And that's why we're still Jews. After thousands of years, we're still Jews because of the thunder and lightning. It's not gonna just the curriculum. I know lots of fine Jews who learned a lot of curriculum. Like I was telling you about this woman that was telling me that her husband doesn't daven anymore. And they know a lot of Torah. And they learned from very, very respected people. And they know a lot. They still know a lot. But they just got grounded someplace. Along the way, they got grounded and the thunder and lightning is gone. So let me end with a story. And I want to read it to you the way it's in the Sefer. It takes a minute. Because every word is very, very special. It's a story about one of my favorite tzaddikim, Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka. You all heard of Amshnov. The beginning of Amshnov was the tzaddik Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka. He was the kindest, the deepest, the sweetest tzaddik in the world. Actually, he was zeichet to be by his kever, by his sin, and there was thunder and lightning when we were climbing up to Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka. It was an amazing place. It was a mountainside, and it was pouring and thundering and there was lightning. The whole sky was lit up, and we went to Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka. So listen to what this tzaddik, the nice of him. It says that there was a certain big rav that came to Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka, and he asked him, "Maduat emesrakshim kolkach?" I mean, obviously, it was originally in Yiddish, but this is what it says in the Sefer. Why do you get so excited about the Rebbe Rabbeinu for Peshischa? In other words, he was saying, "You, Rabbi Yitzchak, you yourself are a huge tzaddik and a huge talmid chacham. Why are you always running to the Rebbe Rabbeinu for Peshischa? Him koycha gadol kolkach? He's so great that." Rabbi Simcha Bonifa Peshischa was very, very, very great, was he? But he owned the drugstore. He was a pharmacist. And he was one of the favorite targets of the Misnagdim, you understand? Oh, the big tzaddik, and he... So this person was asking Rabbi Tzavurka, why do you go running to Rabbi Simcha Bon? He's so great. So this Rabbi Yitzchak answered. This is what the Rabbi Tzavurka answered. Koycha shal Rabbi Rabunim, the koch of my Rebbe, of the Rebbe Rabunim, is ke koch shel Eliyahu Hanavi. It's like the koch of Eliyahu Hanavi. Hari Eliyahu motze es Elisha, I'm sure many of you remember the story from Tanakh, that Eliyahu went out hunting, looking for Elisha, who would be his closest disciple and his soulmate. And Eliyahu went looking for him. They hadn't met, ever. But Eliyahu was out hunting for him. Eliyahu says Elisha, and you recall what was Elisha doing when Eliyahu was walking in the countryside, going all around trying to find. He knew that he had to find this tzaddik, who would continue his way. So he says, Rabbi Yitzchak said, Eliyahu says Elisha cherish besadim hashvarim. When Eliyahu Navi met Elisha, Elisha was plowing the fields with a couple of behemoths. He was plowing with an ox. Mamish kama payer. You know what a payer is? A peasant. When Eliyahu met Elisha, Elisha was mamish kama payer, a peasant. Pogesh is Elisha. Eliyahu met Elisha. Vutzoyek el shvarav hey ksaba, which means, I guess, in Polish or Russian, whatever it is, I don't know whether is it Russian. What's ksaba? Am I saying it wrong? The people that speak Polish or Russian. But he said. And all of a sudden, Elisha started to scream to his ox, Kadima, move. V'hinei berega shehishlich Eliyahu zadat el Elisha. There's a beautiful song about this too from Michal Shapiro. At this time I play it for you. You remember that Eliyahu Navi wore this cloak, this some mystical, magical coat, Aderes Eliyahu. And Eliyahu Navi took off this coat and he passed it, he swept it over, it touched Elisha. Miyad hishtanim and akotze lakotze. All of a sudden, this poyer, this peasant, this farmer, hishtanim and everything in his life changed. Miyad, he went, shachet as a shvarm, he went and he shechted the animals. He gave his parents, he bought the food for his parents. Sorev as a machresha, he burned the plow. Bishel Basara Shvarbi cooked the meat, the chilak lanoshim, shayushim, he gave it out to a lot of people, the food. Because Shaalu Eliyahu HaNavi, and it says in Navi, that Eliyahu HaNavi asked Elisha, Me'asisi lach, what did I do to you? What happened to you? What did I do to you? Heshev Elisha, oi, Rabbi. Hasnimi asach geton. He said to him in Yiddish. Very unlikely, but the Rebbe said in this way. It's in the Sefer, it said, Hatmi asach geton. Rebbe, you did a lot. Hatmi asach geton. And then it says, then the Yipsa verse tells him, Va'ozav miyad is ovev imo. He left his parents. V'rotz achre Elio, and Elio Novi is walking away, and Elisha went chasing after him. Actually, ha'yochel, he did not take me a minute, till he could not separate himself for the rest of his life, Eliyahu Navi's life, till Eliyahu went up, and Elisha was the one who was there when Eliyahu went up. Ovi, Ovi, remember? That Elisha saw his Rebbe Eliyahu going up in a chariot of fire, and he screamed out, Ovi, Ovi, Rechav Yisrael for Roshav. The whole story is unbelievable. Kach, so the Rebbe Yitzchak Rorke tells this Misnagid, Kach HaRebbe Shili Rebbunu. That's exactly, you asked me to explain what's the greatness of Rebbunu. Kach HaRebbe Rebbunu. When the Rebbe Rabbunim takes another Jew's hand, even if it's a poyer, a simple peasant of a Jew, miyad hu mislahir, it sets him on fire. The Yiddishkeit begins to a fire in the Jew. He sets the Jew on fire. Rabbi Merimos al Yiddishkeit. Mamish Boeris, and the Rebbe lifts up this Jew, even a poyer, even a peasant, the Yiddishkeit, Mamish Boeris, the Yiddishkeit that's thunder and lightning, fire. Miad Odom Zer Rotzlomoid, Behava Atzuma, and this person drops everything in his life, and he runs to go get a Gemara. Menashik Oisias a Gemara, and he kisses, he says, the letters of the Gemara, and the words in the Siddur. The Kol Kuloi Chuk in the floor, Kol Chayvan, for the rest of his life, he's on fire with being a Jew. Would you like your kids and our grandchildren to have teachers like that? It doesn't say that Eliyahu Navi taught him a word. A word. Something happened. We have to daven that it should happen to our kids. It should happen to our grandchildren. It should happen to us. It's not just about hearing the Aseres HaDibros on Shavuos. The din of Shavuos is, the judgment of Shavuos is, the Ilana Dechai, the tree of life. Is it your life? Is it your life or is it just a way of life? Is it something that gives you life? Is it something that sets your life on fire? Is your davening, is your learning? Are you able to have those moments in the day, those moments on a Friday night or a Yontif, whenever it is, where your neshama is able to flitter away from this world? Do you take time for Hashem? Do you take time for the Torah to hear the thunder, to see the lightning? Do you stop what you're doing sometimes? Do you turn off the world? Do you turn off the phone? Do you go away someplace? Not out to eat. But anyway, you go in a restaurant and everybody sits in the restaurant looking at their phones. Do you go out of this world? Because the only way you can see the truth is when you're out of this world. When you become an outside observer, you see the sheker of what we're living. The sheker, the nonsense, the emptiness of what's in the world, to see that. But you have to get out a little bit and watch in the playground as an outside observer to see. And when you do that, then you see with the greatest clarity the truth of Torah, not just the Torah in general, but what Hashem wants you to do with the Torah that He gave you. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Hashem told each and every one of us, Chazal tell us that at Har Sinai, Hashem went to each and every individual Jew and whispered in each and every one of our ears, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Don't follow, don't imitate other people. Don't be, this is what I told this bracha, don't be discouraged by what that Rebbe said to you. You follow your own path. You're doing something that's special, that's good. Don't worry about it. Anoch Hashem Elokecha. Otherwise, we're like the Hamas of Elisha. They just go on and on plowing. through life, keeping Yiddishkeit because we have to, not because it's life itself. Hashem is about to judge us all in a good way. Amen. And we should be awakened to be Jews that are on fire.
Amen.
I give a bracha that you should be able to, all of you should be able to win the raffle. I don't know how many winners there could be. Yeah, a lot of winners? Okay, so every Jew has a winning ticket, Baruch Hashem. And we should use it for 120.
Amen.